Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, the last word on Ivy, tangling with Taylor, knitting stress, and new yarn. These two things are connected. Welcome to episode 40 of The Ordinary Knitter. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter at The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry as Ordinary Knitting. It's been such a long time. I think I may have managed another one of my 3-week gaps. This is mainly because I've been working on a couple of quite long projects. After all the hoopla of all the Christmas knitting and lots of short projects and lots of, I say lots of interesting new techniques, possibly overdoing it, but new techniques such as the herringbone stitch that I'd never done before. And once I got the hang of that, I really enjoyed it. All the short little projects I was doing, the why had I chosen them, the what yarn was I using, and the how did I manage to screw it up of each different project. Since then, I picked up Ivy again and I finished it. And I've just got a few last comments to make on that. But that took, all in all, quite a long time. Plus, I'm now making this jumper. I've finished 95% of the knitting. I just have to pick up round the neck to do the neck band, and I have to make it up, which is not without its complications. But again, these have been relatively long projects, Ivy more so than Taylor. And it's not very exciting to just come and say, I'm still going with this quite long project. Good podcasts are not made of this stuff. So I haven't had really quite so much to say. Also, I was away last week in half term, excuse me. Anyway, all of which is to say, here I am again. I hope you've been looking forward to a new episode. That would really make my day. And let's get on with it, shall we? Last word on Ivy. As you know, I went through a few trials and tribulations with Ivy. I got massively stuck with the shaping on the front at one point until a comment that somebody had made. I asked on Ravelry and lots of people responded. And it didn't make any sense to me, and I was tying myself in knots. And I went back, prompted by Knitting Hour on Twitter, which I also haven't taken part in for a couple of weeks now. I went back and looked again at the thread and realised that the very first reply to my query completely explained what I needed to do. But for some reason, I hadn't allowed it to make sense to me before. I think because I was very sure of where the problem was, and this reply didn't fit in with that. I was looking for somebody to explain the bit that didn't make sense. I wasn't looking for them to say, actually, it's not that bit that doesn't make sense. It's you're going wrong somewhere else. Anyway, got over that, got it all finally done, lots of making up, interrupted by having to dash out and rescue my husband with his broken down car one night, and finally got it made and didn't really like it. Tried it on my mother, who liked it but found it tight under the arms. And it's interesting, I found it a little tight under the arms to begin with, and I think this is just because of my usual problem of having to bodge when I'm setting in a sleeve. And I've ended up with, a little more of the knitting bunched in the armpit than is desirable. Nonetheless, so she said she wouldn't really wear it as it was. Bearing in mind, though, because I just whisked it out of my bag at Knit and Natter, she was already wearing a top, and she wasn't about to take it off. It wasn't one of those tops. So she was putting it on over an existing sort of thinnish buttoned-up cardigan, which, of course, is going to increase the bulk under the arms. I'm sitting here with my hands on my arms, looking like a chicken. I hope the postman doesn't arrive. So I thought, right, well, what I'll do is I'll take the sleeves out and then maybe she'll find it more comfortable. But I just decided, just before I did that, I thought, I'm just going to try it on again, just in case. And the long and short of it was that the second time I didn't mind it nearly as much. And although it's still, when I look, I was finished my sentence, I'm always interrupting myself. I was going to say it's a little bit too gapey on the top half. There's less coverage than I would like. But when I look at the pattern, that is how it's meant to be. I think I just perhaps assumed that the way that it was being worn in the picture was, it was maybe tied more loosely or something like that. But no, it just is one of those that doesn't really start crossing over until quite low down. And I wore it on a couple of really cold days because it's very thick. I find that it's really quite a chunky item. But I was a little bit chilly in the sort of décolletage area. So I would just wear a, you know, a sort of thinnish, I was going to say chiffon, but that's not right. You know what I mean? These really long scarves that we've all got, that we wear over our clothes, not necessarily for warmth, but on this occasion it was for warmth. So I'm pleased to say that after all of that, ivy has found its place in my wardrobe, and it was welcome because I'm getting a bit low. I've got a lot of things that have done sterling service for years, and really, you know, need to be going out. So it's lovely to have something half decent to replace one of those items with. I mentioned before that my daughter asked for a jumper, and as she doesn't usually, she doesn't take any interest in knitting per se, but she has asked me for a few things. I've mentioned before I made her the punk rock backpack. I'm quite pleased with that, and every now and again she uses it. She also asked me for a poncho this time last year, but she doesn't really wear it very much. I was a little surprised, and I don't know, I wouldn't be surprised if it just didn't quite work out as she had anticipated. So when she asked me for a jumper a few weeks ago, I had no desire to say no, but I certainly didn't feel I could say no. So we searched around and we found a design called Taylor, which was designed by Kim Hargreaves for Rowan. And it's in the picture, and the way I'm knitting it, black and white horizontal stripes. I meant, of course, black and grey horizontal stripes. It's a short jumper. My daughter is nearly 15, and she's extremely slim, which we now know is because she's had celiac disease for years, which we only discovered last year. She's unusually slim. And so she can, you know, these kind of very slim fitting things, she's absolutely fine. For some reason, she always has a brown tummy all year round, and we don't know what that's all about. So she's going to look great in it. But she wanted it in garter stitch, and the pattern is written in stocking stitch. That does immediately, obviously, throws up a number of issues, because a garter stitch is wider and shorter than a stocking stitch, which is longer and narrower. So I obviously had to bear that in mind. It's fortunate, I think, in this case that I'm making her the smallest size, but because she is so slim, I think even with the smallest size, we've got a little bit to play with. And I think I'm getting away with it a little more than I might if I was doing this onto, shall we say, perhaps a more adult shape adult. So what I have done all the way through is I've paid attention to the measurements. There are areas where the row count is important for things like decreasing, but obviously I'll come to this in a minute, but you'd think that the armhole and the sleeve would correspond. Yes, I have sleeve issues again. So I tried it on her the other day. As I say, I've literally made all the bits, and I just clipped some bits together because I needed to see how the arm was going to work, particularly the underarm, and I think it's going to be okay. Again, it might be slightly on the snug side under the arm, but she isn't going to be wearing anything underneath it. She wouldn't be seen dead in a vest, although I live in those little, you know, those cheap Primark camisole vests. I think I wear them in the winter under my clothes, and I wear them in the summer as my clothes, so but she wouldn't wear one of those, probably because her old mum wears them. So I don't, even if it is a bit snug under the arm, I think we'll get away with it, because she's so slim. But I don't think, I wouldn't do this again I have to say. It's been an interesting experiment from that point of view. Not that I embarked on it as an experiment. I embarked on it to make my daughter a jumper. But I think it's shown me that you really do take a lot of risks knitting a stocking stitch pattern in garter stitch. And I think that the bigger the size, or the bigger the individual that it's for, I think the much more scope there is for it to all go very badly wrong. So when I had finished the first sleeve, bearing in mind problems I've had before, as I was just talking about with Ivy, of having too much knitting under the arm, I sort of laid it out. I clipped together the right-hand shoulder seam, because this is a seamed sweater, front, back, two sleeves. And I laid the top of the sleeve sort of into the armhole, and it was shorter than the armhole. My instinct when I saw that was to panic. Well, that panic's a bit strong, but to think, I'm not sure it's meant to look like that. But even though I've changed from garter stitch to stocking stitch, and I may be being naive here, because from the point where you first start decreasing on the body for the armholes, from that point onwards, and from the point on the sleeve where you begin to decrease towards the shoulder, it's all on row count, and it would have been exactly the same on each one. So I don't really see how it can have gone too wrong. Anyway, I posted on Ravelry. I thought before I complete the other sleeve, but I'll tell you about that in a minute, I want to know whether this just doesn't stand a hope. And actually, opinion was quite evenly divided. I'll link to the thread in the show notes. Roughly speaking, you had half the people saying, oh no, I think you've got a problem there, that's never going to work. And other people saying, oh no, it's fine, the top of the sleeve is always shorter than the armhole, because don't forget, da 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 da. And of course, I had my same old problem of not being able to think in 3D. So I was actually doing this on the Monday night, and we were about to go away on the Tuesday morning. And although I took my knitting with me, I wasn't in the kind of environment where I could really settle down to a concentrated hour or two of starting to seam and set in sleeves and that sort of thing. It was more a case of just gaily sitting there knitting backwards and forwards on the sleeve while I chat with my relatives. So I had to put the construction to one side, but I continued with the second sleeve. I started with both sleeves together. And I talked about with Ivy, I was saying, I don't know why I didn't do both. Well, I think possibly. No, I don't know why I didn't do both sleeves together on Ivy, because I could find both ends of the yarn that time. It was puzzling. It may have been, I don't know, because of all the twisted ribbon things. Perhaps I just thought it was too much. But anyway, I started these sleeves two at a time. And they were knitted flat. And that was fine up to a point. The problem I don't normally have is my yarn getting twisted. I've heard it said that you should never, if you're knitting two at a time, you should never knit from both ends of one skein of yarn, because it will become nightmarishly tangled up. Now, I haven't found this to be the case. That's not to say that it never gets a little bit messy, but usually I just hold my knitting up and the skein of yarn just pirouettes until it's untangled itself, and I really don't have an issue with that. However, the extra factor this time was stripes. So I had two balls of yarn. I had my black and my grey. So I was having to manage two skeins of yarn knitting from each end. And it did ultimately, no matter how careful I was, it just became impossible. Things were so tangled I couldn't actually move the yarn, at which point I just had to admit defeat. So I was mid-forearm at this stage. So I cut one of the sleeves loose and stuck it on stitch markers and carried on with the other one, which was much, much simpler. So it's taught me, again, everything I do at the moment seems to be a particularly acute learning curve. So I've learned that if you're going to knit stripes, do your sleeves one at a time. this isn't self-striping, you know, this is two skeins of yarn. I completed my second sleeve while I was away, And I started last night. I went to sort of start making up, but on a very experimental basis. I sewed up one of the shoulder seams. I was literally just following the instruction, which says to seam the right shoulder and then set the sleeve in. So I seamed the right shoulder, but I wasn't really doing it sort of seriously almost. It was just a case of, yes, I just want to get this shoulder together. So I haven't woven in my ends or anything. I think I'm just going to actually just pull that bit of yarn out and I'm going to do it again sort of a little more neatly, I suppose, perhaps is the term. Yes, it is the term. But I was doing it just so that I could clip in the sleeve, go and try it on my daughter and then see if it was going to be worth doing. So it is. I'm happy that it's going to be okay, if not perfect. But because I have this problem with sleeves every fecking time, I thought I would go and see if there was information to be had. And the key phrase in the Taylor pattern is, it says, set in the sleeves using the setting in sleeves method, which seems the obvious method to use if you're setting in sleeves. So I went and looked on Very Pink, and essentially it's what I do anyway. I had hoped actually there might be some secret or magic trick that I just didn't know about that suddenly made all my problems with sleeves disappear, but no. But she did what I would expect to do, which is to find the center point of the top of the sleeve, clip that in at the point where you have seamed the back and the front, clip also where you've started your decreasing on both the sleeve and the body of the jumper, and then basically just keep halving from that point until you're fairly well in. However, the one thing that I didn't do in the way that she said, which I will do this time, is once you've got it clipped in, you seam each half of the sleeve independently from the other half, which was suggested to me. Gosh, I can't remember whether it was the thread I posted when I was confused about Ivy or whether it was about Taylor, but anyway, somebody said to me, seam each half of the sleeve separately. I couldn't really see any great reason for doing that, but I thought, oh well, all right then. Having seen it said again by Stacey Perry, I'm thinking, okay, fine, that's obviously what you do, so it's what I will do. So then what you've got is a jumper which is open at the side. It's seamed on the shoulder and the sleeve is attached, but the side of the jumper is just flapping open. So what you do then, according to Stacey Perry, who I'm quite willing to believe knows exactly what she's talking about, is you seam up from the welt of the jumper, you seam all the way up to the oxter, and then all the way back down the arm, down to the cuff, and you do that in one piece. So I'll do that this time, and I will see if it makes any difference. So that's basically where I'm at with Taylor. I need to make up, and also then you pick up around the neck and you just basically keep going. The image in the pattern is of a certain depth of neckband. My daughter wants it slightly shallower, which is fine, that's easy, that means it'll just all be done. As a definite out and out dyed in the wool project knitter, it means it will be finished sooner, which obviously is absolutely marvellous. New yarn and knitting stress, which one should I start with, because they're kind of tied up. I got new yarn a little while ago, didn't I, and I remember posting pictures of it, and I am having a quick look at my stash and I don't know what the new yarn was. Anyway, I have more new yarn. Aldi is selling yarn again. It's that time of year, although I have to say I think it's selling unless it's just our local one in Leinster, but it's selling, I think, a much smaller range than it has done before. Some of the colours, honestly, I thought were absolutely grim, but there was quite a nice khaki green, and I sort of looked at the khaki green and I looked at my husband and he looked at the khaki green and he looked at me and I said, would you like a jumper, and he said yes please. So my husband's quite a large chap, as I've mentioned before, and I don't yet have in my head really sort of to hand. Like if you said to me, how much flour would you do you think you'd need to make a batch of biscuits? I'd say probably about 8 ounces. If you said to me, how much yarn would you need to make an XXL Aran jumper? I can't say X yards, X meters or X grams. I don't have that in my head yet. So to be on the safe side, they're 400 gram mega skeins, they're huge. So I bought three. And my son would like a jumper as well, although he hasn't, I don't know if that would be the best colour for him. He hasn't asked for it in that colour. Anyway, I'm sure I'll make him one at some point. But so I now have 400 gram skeins, 1200 grams of this khaki Aran. So at some point over the summer, I will make a jumper for my husband with that. But something I have identified, and I think I've mentioned it before, is this feeling. Now, it's like a ticking clock in my head, or almost, I sometimes think of it as the type of mailboxes that you see in American films and TV programs, where it's on a post at the end of the drive and the postman flicks a little flag up to show you there's something in it. And it's like that in my head going, that yarn needs to be used. You said you'd make your husband's jumper, needs to be used. And it becomes a stress. It's like something that has to be done. Obviously, I knit because I enjoy it, but you still, I get this, it's a pressure. And I've mentioned before, I've got this secret project, which I inadvertently blabbed about in the last episode. Plus, there's the cowl and mittens I'd like to make for my trip to Murrayfield in March. And again, they're sort of sitting in the back of my mind, making their presence felt. So I really need to get over that. It happens in other areas of my life as well. And it's really something I need to get the better of. Just to digress briefly, we're sort of coming up towards Lent. I am completely totally atheistic and very happy in that position. However, I do find that something like Lent, it is useful as a sort of period of reflection. I mean, it could be in the middle of July for all I care. However, it falls now. You're well away from all the New Year's resolutions and all the rest of it that inevitably explodes all around the beginning of the year. And I have always used Lent as a time to either solve a problem or make a decision. Sometimes break a habit, just make a change for the better in my life. And what I'm going to do this time, I'm not even sure when it starts, but I know it's not that far off. I'm going to do this time is use it to win in all those situations where I'm feeling something as a pressure. Because what I'd like to be thinking instead is, oh, wonderful, when I've next got I come to a natural break and I'm looking for a new project, I've got all that lovely khaki yarn. I was going to do a jumper, wasn't I? Brilliant. I'll really look forward to that when the time comes. I suppose it's a form of parking, because I had originally expected at the moment to be working on these other two projects that I've mentioned. And of course, they've now been shunted back. I mean, I'd originally hoped to have this jumper ready a week ago. Then I said to my daughter, I'll have it done by the weekend. And here we are, it's Tuesday. So I'd like to think by this weekend, if all the making up and the picking up for the neck goes well. But I think I have to stop thinking that it actually matters. It's not going to make any difference to her. I bought her a new top and some trousers while we were away because she needs them. But it's not like she's not got clothes to wear. So that's, I don't know, do you suffer from that? It's funny because it actually makes me think twice about buying yarn, because I think, oh God, am I just going to be thinking, I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I've bought all this yarn and I'm not using it and I can't justify that and three bags full. Because they also had a tomato red yarn, which is slightly more orangey than I would usually wear, but I quite liked it. I wear more red these days than I used to. I've got two red tops and a red cardigan. And I saw that and I thought, oh, I could make something with that. You know, I quite fancy making myself something else red. But I thought, no, I'm not going to buy it. Not because I don't believe in stash, because I do. I really do believe in stash. My stash makes me happy. But more because I was thinking, oh, I'm just going to I'm just going to be pressurizing myself. But perhaps I should, not that I can afford it, but perhaps I should buy this red yarn. Similarly to the grey, the navy and the black that I got from Aldi last year, it comes in four packs of, how much is in a skein? Let's see if I can reach without coming unplugged. Yes. 100? Yes. You get, there, that's the grey. That's what it sounds like. You get four 100 gram skeins, which is comfortably enough. I know that 400 grams is enough to make me something. So maybe I should go back and get it and just damn well learn to live with the fact that it's there and know that I'm just setting myself up. I'm facilitating future projects. Perhaps that should be my word. It should be facilitation, not stress. And perhaps I can turn facilitation into felicitation. Perhaps that should be the challenge that I'm setting myself. When we were away last week, we went to Exeter. My aunt and uncle live, I don't know how many miles away, but not terribly far, 20 odd miles perhaps from Exeter. They've lived down that part of the world for 13 years and we've gone down pretty much every year, and this is the first time I've ever been to Exeter. And I had hoped, my plan originally had been to drop into the little wool shop in 4 Street in Exeter. They were very helpful around Christmas time, offering to buy in the Rico sock stop that I was having trouble sourcing, and which in the end I still haven't sourced. And they offered to get it in for me so that I could pick it up when I was down. But I held off because I knew, you know what it's like, you're away with family, there's a big group of you, you know, there's like 6 of you in town, and you just can't be sure where you're going to end up. And I really didn't want to be in a position where it said, oh yes, brilliant, please get it, I'll drop in, and then find that I couldn't get there. And it turned out to be the right decision because I didn't get there, and I was sad not to, because I'd really been looking forward to it. I'd also thought that I would try and pick up some Patterns sock yarn, because I've heard people talking very highly about Patterns sock yarn, and I would like to knit another couple of pairs of socks for my husband this year. One pair has sadly bitten the dust, but it was the first pair I ever made. It's been repaired several times, and it wasn't actually sock yarn. When I made them, I thought all 4 ply was sock yarn. There you go, you live and learn. But sad to say, I didn't get there. So I doubt we'll be going again this year. It's possible we might, but you know, there's no plans at the moment. So That was a shame. It was an opportunity missed, but I just wasn't in control of the situation. The other thing I just wanted to mention briefly was, they're known as activity cuffs. Unfortunately, one person I know, very innocent lady, refers to them as twiddle muffs. I would call them activity cuffs, and these are for people suffering with various forms of dementia. It's not something I have first-hand experience of, but I understand that people suffering from various types of dementia can suffer from an agitation, and having something in their hands to distract them helps to soothe. So there's been, in both of the knitting groups that I go to, there's been quite a push to make these activity cuffs and give them to various care homes and hospitals and so on in our area. And this has been, it's quite interesting. I haven't actually been drafted in to make one myself because I've been asked to do other things. So that's fine. But one interesting conversation we had at the charity knitting group that I go to was around the add-ons. And we came up with the idea of cracker toys. I don't know about you, but after Christmas, we end up with just drawers full of miniature shoehorns and bottle openers that look like half a pair of antlers and things like that. And we thought that, you know, obviously you have to double check that these aren't things that are going to break easily or that people could do themselves a mischief with. But there are things amongst those which are fine. For instance, one thing I've found is about 3 inches long. It's a little ruler that has some shapes punched out of the middle, and you can run your fingers over them, and there's a very gently plastic serrated edge, nothing anyone's going to hurt themselves on, but you can just run your finger along that. And so I've put that in my small knitting bag, and a couple of the when I made Ivy, instead of using knitted ties, I bought ribbon. And obviously the ribbon, as it was too long. So I've got the off-cut of ribbon for that, which can go on. So I'm going to take all these to the charity knitting group a week on Friday and offer them as things to be sewn on. So that's quite interesting, quite fun. New to me, I came across something recently which I had never heard of before as a thing. I've just read the book The Light Between Oceans by M.L. Stedman, that's S-T-E-D-M-A-N, which is quite interesting. Not the best book I've ever read, but it was okay. And the central characters are a lighthouse keeper and his wife. And early in the book, it talks about the reasons why he's being sent out to this particular lighthouse. And it's part of, sometimes people can go slightly odd, stuck out. And also the book is set kind of 100 years ago, in the days when communications weren't what they are now. And one of the things that lighthouse keepers used to do to keep themselves amused was knit. And there's a section early on in this book where the new lighthouse keeper's looking around and he finds the knitting that was, it wasn't in the house where the lighthouse keeper's wife would have been. It was up in, well, what I was going to call the control room. Up where the light is in the gallery and, you know, where the lighthouse keeper would spend some time. And I just thought that was interesting. And I can understand. I mean, we all know that the Zen qualities of knitting, and I thought it was interesting to learn that it was used not just as a pastime, but also a way of just sort of keeping your mind on the subject while you were putting in your huge shift miles from anywhere and probably completely alone. Well, on that cheerful note, I will leave you for another week. Thank you very much for joining me. I'd like to think now that by next week it'll be onto new projects and there'll be a little bit more interesting material to talk about. Enjoy your knitting. Don't forget Knitting Hour on Twitter, 7:30 to 8:30 every Thursday. And let me know what you've been up to. Speak to you again soon. Bye.